Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I'm happy to get the blessing of this church, especially because this week we celebrate on Tuesday the feast of the patron of this church, Saint Cyril, the bearer of the faith in this week. And also on Sarah's Day, we have a great feast of the martyrdom of two of the great saints in the church, St. Peter and St. Paul, which we celebrate the same day, the Feast of the Apostles. Today's Gospel, it's according to St. Luke, chapter 10, which is telling about the mission of the Father of the Apostles. So the mission of the Fathers of the Apostles. We find our Lord Jesus Christ sent the 70 apostles in a mission, and at the same location of the gospel, he sent the two and commanded the two, the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples. So, appointing the 70 apostles and their preaching, this is in the first mission, the commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first mission was for the 12 apostles, which was mentioned in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 10. So we find chapter 10 in Luke, it's the sending of the 70 apostles. Matthew chapter 10, in order to memorize the number of the chapters. Matthew 10, Luke 10, talking about the mission of the apostles. So in the book, in the Gospel of St. Matthew, it says that go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But here, this that was in the Gospel of St. Matthew, was talking to the 12 apostles. But here in this Gospel of today, chapter Luke chapter 10, to the 70, the commandment was not preaching to a certain people. In the 12 apostles, he commanded them for a certain. He said to them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of Samaritans. So particularly he gave them a places to preach. This is the 12 apostles. But for the 70, he did not say to them a certain place to preach or a certain nation to go to, because he said, whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them that the kingdom of God has come near to you. So the words, eat what is set before you, means not to reject the food set to you, but the Gentiles. And not to fear being defiled according to the Moses. Because the mission of the fathers, the apostles, to go anywhere. So he said to them, certainly they're going to meet with the Gentiles. So he said to them in their commandments, eat whatever they said before you, because they might even meet with a Gentile and then they eat with them. So they want to command them not to put in them for being defiled according to Moses' law. They were to eat what was offered them, the preaching word of kingdom. So here in the 70 apostles, he stressed on one point, to spread that the kingdom of heaven is near by you. This is the mission of the apostle. And the second mission also, which is between our hands now, the reading, probably meant the preaching to the Gentiles, because it's known that the inhabitants of the wilderness to which our Lord Jesus went after the Galilee, these were of the Gentiles. That's why St. Luke, the evangelist, himself could have been one of these 70 apostles. That's why he wrote this in his gospel. But in Matthew, because he was one among the 12 apostles, he wrote what was sent to the 12 apostles. Saint Matthew, the evangelist, one of the apostles, wrote to the Jews. He did not mention this mission because his gospel was written to the Jews. Saint Luke, his gospel, written to the Gentiles. So he wrote what our Lord Jesus Christ commanded him to do among the Gentiles. So if the 12, one of the fathers of the church, he said that 12 apostles, the 12 sources, then the 70 represented the 70 palm trees in the new Elim, which mentioned in the book of Exodus chapter 15. If the 12 stand as foil to the 12 tribes, then the 70 stand as a foil to the 70 elders chosen by Moses in the book of Numbers chapter 11, or the 70 members in Sanhedrin assembly. He might have chosen the 70 apostles before the coverage feast, in which the Jews offer 70 sacrifices. So it's as if he wished to offer the world a new feast, in which the apostles are offered as a sanctified and living sacrifice pleasing to God, in Romans chapter 12. So on the altar of Rav, through the preaching to the entire world, we note the following in this mission. First, after this, the Lord appointed 70. After the feast, he appointed the 70 apostles and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. I will go through very quickly about the mission he gave it to them, the commandments he gave it to them. He sent them two by two. Why he did not send one? He said to them, go separately one by one. But he sent them two by two. As he did before, he sending the 12 apostles also. For two are better than one, as because they will receive good wages for their toil. For if one of them falls, the other colleague raises him. But woe to him who is by himself, for he falls there, there is no other one to raise him, as the mentioned in the gospel. Two refers to the love, two refers to the love to God and to the people. So it is as if his mission was not verbal preaching only, but the preaching of love and partnership with God and man. So that's why he sent them two by two. He sent them before his face, so they pave the way for him. His intention to go to any, to different places, but he could not go to the whole nation, the whole world. So send the apostles before his face to pave the way for him, as he sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for by repentance for him. And they work before he does, so they would be under his care while they would be taking care of others. Secondly, in this mission, he assured them that to preach was essential work of his, to preach the gospel, to teach the people, to educate the people. So it was, he has appointed them, they stayed with him like for 3 years, like pre-servant class. Our Lord Jesus Christ surrounded by his disciples and the apostles to teach them. Not to teach only by preaching, but also by acts and deeds, by love. That's why he gathered all the apostles among him to notice him, to recognize what he's doing, and then they do like he did. And the same. As he loved the people and the weakness, they have to love others also. So the harvest, he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of harvest to send out laborers his harvest. Certainly, in this mission, his commandment to them was follows. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. These words reveal him as the sender. I'm sending you. He sent them. This to show he is the one working in them and is responsible for them. His mission for them is not as easy one. A path full of flowers, but it's rather a small mission of lambs thrown amongst wolves. Sometimes we have this idea or concept which is wrong, that in order to serve, you have to prepare everything and to wait that everything is going according to your will, or it is a paved way. But our Lord Jesus Christ, when he sent the apostles, he did not prepare a place for them to go. He did not ask them or ask somebody to receive them in the harbor or the airport or something and to prepare a place for him to stay. He just sent them. Because he was working within them, so they trusted him that they will find everything will be perfect with them in their mission. But not everything was perfect, because they persecuted them. Some of them, he said that you are a lambs thrown amongst wolves. Saint Augustine says these wolves devour up the lambs, and so the wolves are transformed into lambs. It is a mission not to devour his apostles, but to convert the wolves into lambs by means of the meekness of his lambs, that his apostle allowed the wolves to harm his flock, but he sends the lambs amongst the wolves, so these words are fulfilled, like mentioned in the book of Isaiah. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. This is a verse mentioned in the book of Isaiah. So the fulfillment in the mission of the fathers, the apostles. Hear the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was described moreover by Saint John. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Firstly, he commanded them, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. If you're traveling to any place, at least you take your daily stuff or belonging with you in a bag. But our Lord Jesus Christ asked them, carry no purse, carry no bag, carry no sandals. Why he said to them? He has given the commandment to the 12 apostles, and he has offered himself as the source of satisfaction to them before asking them to resource them temporal issues. And what was amazing that we find in the life, in the biography of the life of the apostles, they obeyed literally this one. You remember the story of Saint Mark when he entered the streets of Alexandria, and what happened to him? He was walking in the streets and his sandal cut off, and then he was searching for somebody, shoemaker or something, to prepare it, to fix it. If Saint Mark at that time did not obey this commandment, he would have another sandal in his bag, so he could exchange it and walk. But God wanted, in this particular issue, an event happened with Saint Mark to prove that is this the source of entering the Christianity into the land of Egypt. What happened? He found shoemaker in Janus. He took the sandal and asked him to fix it for him. while the shoemaker in Janus fixing the sandal, the needle cut off his finger. So in Janus cried and said, Essios, which one God. So from this point, St. Mark used this word and asked him, do you know God? And from that point, he started to preach in Janus the preaching the gospel. The Christianity entered into land of Egypt by this word. So he offered himself as the source of teaching, sanctification to them before asking them to resource temporal issues. He said to them, no bags, no purses. Usually those two, these two are made of dead animal skin, leather. And the Lord does not want for us anything that dead. This is why he tells Moses, take off your sandals, for the place where you are is holy. He commanded him to take off the sandals of death and the earthly matters at the moment he sent him to save the people. So the servant who is responsible for this job should not fear anything. That's why we ask you to take off your shoes before you get to communion. That originally, actually, not because we enter the sanctuary as a deacon, we take off our shoes, or when you come to the communion, but the original tradition, you have to take off your shoes before you enter to the church. We don't do this now. In some monasteries in Upper Egypt or in Egypt, they do this, they keep this tradition. Because why? As God asked Moses to take off his shoes, because this land is holy. And the traditional of the church, the bishop or the patriarch consecrated by Holy Mayrun, the whole walls and the icons of the church. So the whole place is sanctified, purified. It's a holy place. So we cannot bring up death, earthly matters into this holy place. That's why we ask you to take off the shoes before entering the church or entering the sanctuary or before getting into the communion. Whether it is death or any other earthly matters, he is not to regress in his mission that he has been given us due to his fear of death. Moses ran away from his mission due to his fear of death. And he escaped to the Midian land. The Lord knew of his intention and realized his weakness. Therefore, he sought first to release his spirit and his soul from the dead links. But what are the sandals? We use shoes made of the skin of dead animals so as to cover our feet. In this way, he tells us to reject the dead deeds. Fifthly, he commanded them also something it could be weird for us. He said to them, and the great no one on the road. Imagine that you meet somebody and then you know him or you don't say good morning or hi. So he said to them, great no one on the road. But he means the preacher is not to be disturbed by too many favors that have no spiritual goal. To things which it prevents him from continuing work. Sometimes we are busy of talking, chatting, and this all social media nowadays, it comes up. Sometimes those social media, it delays us from our service, from our duty. We have to do it with God, to pray, to fast, to go to the church. How many hours we spend in front of the Facebook? how many hours we spend checking emails, how many hours spend watching this, replying this, responding this, and do this, how many hours of this? And compare with other stuff of spiritual stuff. How many hours you spend in the church, how many hours you preach, how many hours you spend in service. That's why he said to them, greet no one in the room. It doesn't mean that the greeting we do that's hi or good morning or social relationship with others. But this, he meant the social relationship, it could prevent us from our job and work. Saint Augustine says this is not to be understood in the physical sense. And thus he does not mean pears or sandals or bag. Above all of this, we practice in simplicity and with no investigation that we say greeting to others on the way, then we fall into pride. We can simply understand this as to fulfill what we were commanded with in haste. It is, if he is telling us, leave everything on this commandment, saying the Lord does not forbid us from greeting peacefully others, but not to offer it on the road, this means it should not delay us in doing the job. What is meant, this also is to greeting in pleasant habit also. He asked them, do not move about from house to house. So the Lord wished them to get rid of the appearances of the scribes and Pharisees at that time. They had to move from place to place to get the pride of the people. They used to spend most of their time in honorable feasts. On the other hand, he wanted them to feel themselves as a members of that household where they marched. He asked them also if some people rejected them, rejected him. So asked them to get rid of the dust, clink on their sandals or shoes, on their feet. Regarding those who rejected them, this refers to the rejection of all what clung to them as dust that deserves only to be got rid of under their feet. Finally, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us, because they obeyed his commandment. He said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions. He shifted them to the next stage. He asked them, he gave them authority for more, because they obeyed the first commandment. He said to them, I gave you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, so not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So the Father, the Apostle, rejoiced when they saw Satan fall before man through the preaching of the kingdom. Our Lord Jesus confirmed the downfall of Satan that has fallen by means of the cross from heaven as a flash of lightning. The Lord moreover confirmed the authority man has through the cross, because the Satan fallen from heaven when the cross, the shedding of his blood. But what rejoices us is not the downfall of Satan, neither is the power to perform miracles, but rather our being blessed with the heavenly kingdom through the righteous life we obtain by God's grace. May the blessing of the fathers, the apostles, the 70 apostles and 12 disciples be with us in this week and in their feast, and glory be to God now and forever. Amen.